In my quest for finding answers to the deepest questions in the philosophy and science of happiness, I started interviewing the happiest people I know. I did everything I could to get them to fess up about their secrets and how on earth they have discovered and maintained this state of perpetual flourishing. I am your host, Ida Askri, and this is my quest on a journey to find the universal equation for happiness.
Welcome to the first episode of Ida's Quest. Today's guest is our very own Benjamin Schultz, the co-founder and CEO of Concept.app. I'm going to walk Benjamin through my 7-step concept method to explore his life story and understand how he has discovered and maintained this beautiful state of perpetual flourishing. Welcome, Benjamin. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
I think Ben and I, we've been working together on Concept and Concept.app, our private global community for flourishing. We'll talk a little bit more about this, but we've been working on this for quite some time. I'd say about 3 or 4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
A few years back when we first started having this conversation about, you know, where do people go to talk about their state of happiness or improving their lives or reaching their maximum potential? And we decided that there's not a lot of different places where people talk about this, and very little space and resources available to everybody. And I think that was the beginning of our realization. It was like, well, if this space doesn't exist, then maybe we should create one. Do you remember that?
Yeah, and it's a lot about the environment. I mean, sitting here right now talking to you with a cozy sleeping dog in the corner and a fire next to us, it just creates a different type of conversation than anywhere else. We're always looking for somewhere to try to find that atmosphere, and we're always disappointed. And so it looks like we're destined to create it ourselves.
Exactly. And it's interesting because, again, we've been talking and thinking about this. It's like, well, yes, some conversations like this, it's possible that they could happen in university halls. It could happen in maybe a yoga studio. They could maybe happen at the bar. I'm not saying that this is impossible, but it's less likely that conversations like this can go towards a purposeful and meaningful destination. And I think at that point is where we started creating the concept method, where we both recognized that, okay, well, there should be a way for us to have an authentic connection with someone else beyond just a day-to-day chat, right?
Yeah, but you've got to go out of your way to make those connections.
Right, and sometimes it comes out pretty weird. You know, you can't just start talking to someone, you know, and it's like, hey, I'm here to have a very profound conversation with you about nature.
Well, you can. We try.
It doesn't go well.
It works.
True, true. So yeah, I think that's the idea of concept method between the two of us when we developed what we call the universal equation for authentic connection and development. And a little bit on that, for the sake of our audience knowing what is going to happen in our new podcast, Ida's Quest, our goal is to find a new, perhaps universal equation for happiness. So I'm going to use the same method for concept that we have developed over the past few years, just mainly because I think it helps us frame the conversation from point A to point B and get to a conclusion without getting lost, especially with questions that they're a little bit more complex, like again, finding happiness, something to define that is not necessarily as definable.
Yeah, it's definitely something that you want to look at from multiple angles, and you don't just want to have immediate A to B, like,
right,
this is the question and this is the answer, yes or no. It's something that you know, it's worth exploring. It's an enjoyable process to explore a question like that.
Totally. And especially for me, you know a little bit about my background. You know, I was born and raised for the most part in Tehran, in Iran, and it was a very difficult time for me to try to figure out what I want from my life and what are my maximum potentials, you know. As someone who wants to reach out for the stars and had very wild dreams and very vivid imagination of what I wanted in life, it was very difficult to settle for less. And over the years, through time that I actually managed to escape the country and travel and finally come to the United States and study philosophy, which is really dear to my heart, all in all, just to try to find out where and how people could find happiness and flourishing for themselves, right? And again, like I said, human flourishing, it's one of the topics that I was really surprised, you know, to be honest with you, when I first moved to the United States. I really thought that, you know, this is where you come for your dreams,
this
right?
This is the land of flourishing.
This is the land of flourishing. But the very first signs of like the word flourishing I found was in the studies of positive psychology and Marty Silliman on his book about authentic happiness. And later he developed a PERMA model, which is one of the first models of measuring human flourishing and happiness. PERMA is standing for positive emotion, engagement, relationships, meaning and purpose, and accomplishments. And I think that was like in early 2011 or so, where that study and that beautiful work of art came out, and it's been used ever since in positive psychology and humanistic psychology as well, as a way of measuring, or at least trying to understand, how do we flourish? How do we maintain a happy life? And, you know, happiness and flourishing, I guess they're two different destinations, but they do go hand in hand. And that's where I found also the second wave of studies and teachings outside of spiritual practices and esoteric practices, where I think Yale University in 2018, I think they started a new course. I think it was called Yale Happiness Class, or Psychology and a Good Life. And that was a very popular course. If I remember correctly, that was actually one of the most popular, well-attended classes over the history of 300 years of Yale University studies.
I mean, why wouldn't you want to go to that? That seems like what all of college is trying to teach anyway. That's the unspoken, you go to college because it will afford you a good life and happiness. So why don't we actually talk about what it means to find happiness?
Exactly. And at least, and if there is anything different between flourishing and happiness, which I think there is, because I've met people in my life that they're absolutely reaching their maximum potentials, but they're not necessarily always like happy, happy, right? But they are flourishing. And I've met also people who are absolutely happy and, you know, quite content with what they have, but they're not necessarily flourishing. So they're not really reaching the maximum potential. So to speak, they're kind of settling for less, which is not a bad thing, but recognizing the difference between the two, I thought that was also interesting to have a space in which people can come together and talk about this and find out what works for them was the idea and the birth of Concept Organization and Concept.app. Would you agree with me?
Definitely. And just understanding different frameworks for thinking about things helps you come to totally different conclusions than you may have on your own. Like you were talking about PERMA earlier. I mean, positive emotions, or what we think of as happiness, is just the first step of flourishing, right? The rest of the whole PERMA model to think about. And once you start framing your life that way, then you have a different way of thinking about what you're trying to achieve. And that's what's exciting about the concept method, because it's not complicated, but it gives you a different way to look at the situations in your life and use different people's ideas and different resources to come to a solution, or maybe even realize that you didn't need to be answering that question at all.
Exactly. And I think that's what I'm excited so much about, because you and I developed the concept method together. So I think you're the perfect first guest on the Artist's Quest. Again, it's my quest of finding the universal equation for happiness and flourishing. And quite frankly, Ben, I do recognize you as one of the happiest people I've known. So if you're okay with that, I'm going to go ahead and start our 7-step process of concept method. And maybe we can find out how you have found that space for yourself and that state of flourishing.
Sure, I'd be honored.
Wonderful. Great. Well, let's get started. So I'm going to start you with our first step, what we call the connect and the concept. So we're going to start with taking the moment to be mindfully aware of what's going on with yourself and the world around you. In my case, I'd like to connect with you. So in 2 minutes or so, can you give us a little bit about yourself? Just tell us everything we need to know about you.
You know, whenever somebody asks me to describe myself, I always have like Alan Watts in the back of my head saying, how do you really describe you? If you start by saying, oh yeah, I was born in California, I grew up in Kansas, I'm married, I have a dog, I have a house. But is that really me? Is that me right now? Is that me who I am throughout my whole life? And I think we're just kind of satisfied with those answers. So first I want to say I have difficulty answering this question now. But some things I do know about myself is I love building and improving things, probably to a fault. I've had to learn over my life to not try to make everything that I touch the best that I can, because I can waste a lot of time trying to improve just one little corner of something. I know that I don't like assigning myself to a specific label of career or lifestyle. So it makes it kind of difficult to describe myself.
But it's perfect, because in concept, what we are using as a motto is like flourishing beyond labels, right? Mm-hmm. So You're absolutely right, because a lot of time when you start putting yourself in boxes or labels, it's been difficult to actually flourish and think outside the box and be creative and original.
Yeah, exactly. So how do you describe yourself to people when they ask, hey, who are you? And they usually don't have the patience to go through this philosophical debate with you. So thank you for at least giving me 2 minutes to try to unfold it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I guess we could also take the psychology route and go, this is, you know, a selfish story or a conceptualized self, and everything you're talking about is a product or byproduct of our ego. But like you said, we know there's so much more to us, and I'm not trying to take this conversation to any specific direction, but rather giving everyone an idea of who you are and where we're starting to connect on this concept method as a journey towards happiness together. So I'm going to go ahead and move on to the second phase of the method, to observe or to consider what things you found while mindfully connecting it towards a further explanation. So to begin with, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my observation and experience with you as an authentic connection, as an authentic one-to-one. And then maybe we can hear a little bit about your observation of yourself and the world around you.
Right.
So my observation and experience with you, Ben, I think from the very first time we met, was that you came across very authentic, very genuine, and you were very uplifted. And I think you were carrying a sense of curiosity about you. I think you remember the very first time we met at the yoga studio, and after class, we just started talking about the nature of reality and, you know, how our mind and bodies are connected in such interesting ways. And that was a very fascinating thing to observe about you. I don't come across people every day where they do carry that sense of curiosity and childlike wonder about themselves that is so authentic, that was so there. And I think that was really cool. And it came across in a very happy, uplifted tune. Do you consider yourself a happy person?
Well, I mean, that surprises me when you say that, because at the time, my curiosity came from this desire to figure out my entire life all at once. I mean, at the time, I was just finishing up with some knee problems that fortunately I found yoga to help me solve. And then I had started a new career, and I wasn't sure if that was what I wanted to do, facing 40 years of doing that for the rest of my career and, you know, specific label. And so yoga also was something that I thought, well, maybe the more philosophical sides of yoga can help me understand that. But I just felt driven to figure it all out. And I guess I now realize that I don't have to figure it all out at once. So I guess my curiosity and excitement came more out of fear at that time. But since then, I've found a lot more positive uses for that curiosity and realizing that it doesn't all have to be solved immediately and that I don't have to have a label for myself. And since then, I've been a lot happier and more flourishing, because then I don't have to fit myself into a box. And I found that things worked out okay, even if I don't have a box that people can understand.
Fascinating. Well, like I said, you came across very happy and someone who I thought at the moment was flourishing. So I'm very glad that you actually since then managed to become happier. Do you think there is a universal equation for happiness, Ben?
It's a scary question, because if we really convince ourselves that we've found the universal equation for happiness, then why wouldn't we use it on everything? And then it makes us want to turn everything into numbers that can help us be happier. So if we can find an equation that takes account of the subjective experience of people's lives and actually makes them qualitatively and quantitatively happier, then I think that would be awesome. But I'm not sure I know what that equation would be.
I would agree with you. I guess that's why I'm on the quest. It's a somewhat a convoluted quest, but I'm up for the challenge. And thank you so much for joining me on this, because again, if we could find something in that nature, I think we could all benefit from the results of that. Now we're going to go ahead and start the navigate phase by thinking about the next step we can take to act on our own observations. And because you're one of the happiest people I know, I want to hear from you to walk me through how you deal with your life situations, good or bad. Can you give me some examples of how do you throughout your life handle situations and major changes and challenges?
Sure. Well, I feel compelled to understand a situation. So I actually found that, for instance, when I was studying abroad in college, I didn't make the most of it because I felt displaced and I didn't understand being in a totally different environment, in a different language, and leaving all my family behind for 6 months. And in retrospect, I could have spent that time really trying to understand where I was instead of just clinging to where I had been. But I've valued that ability in me to really want to understand whatever situation I'm in from every angle. And since then, I've been able to figure out how to capitalize on that. And then I can just dive into totally new topics and new environments and enjoy myself and recognize that I still have some stability. So I've dealt with life situations differently over time. And in each one, I guess I've taken the opportunity to learn how to deal with it better. So it's the same thing with yoga. I found yoga because my knees were in pain and I just kind of felt drawn to aligning my body. And I discovered that it wasn't my knees at all. It was my entire body that was misaligned. And it took quite some time to get it kind of back in track so that I didn't have pain everywhere. And just sticking with it and understanding the situation, not just being satisfied with whatever the first solution is how I usually deal with situations.
Fascinating. So I guess no band-aid solution for you. You're looking for a root cause, and until you fix it, you're not going to rest.
Yep. Yep. And it's sometimes tough to find people to go along on that journey with you. So
I'm with you. I am there.
Well, thank you very much. It's been so helpful to have. And I mean, yeah, that's what excites me about Concept, because bringing people together of that mindset could be super cool.
That would be amazing. I agree with you. Ben, if your life had a background music, what would it be?
Well, it would be something etheric that reminds me that the mundane minutiae of everyday life that I'm always trying to improve is not all that's out there. So it actually would probably be in conflict with what I'm normally doing. So it would be some sort of floaty electronic music while I'd be doing something very mechanical.
That would be remarkable. Like, can you imagine if you could just listen to the music, the background music of your own life while you're going through activities on a day-to-day basis that you don't necessarily remember there is more to life?
Yeah, and you reminded me before that it's helpful to play music to get yourself into those different states. And yeah, so I hope I do carry some background music with me.
Oh yeah, and you know, when I started practicing and learning more about a PERMA model, I learned that I gain both positive emotion and also I can achieve my flow state through listening to music. And that was such a flourishing experience to begin with. It was exciting at that moment, and it also had really long-term effect that I was very thankful for. And I understood how important it is sometimes to have right music and rhythm involved in the activities that you're working with. You definitely do create the environment, and it changes everything around you.
Oh, it totally does. I mean, of course, we go out to restaurants and find that they're just playing top 40. It just often it doesn't fit, because you see, we've gone somewhere where there's people that are retirement age listening to top 40 club music, and there's just been no consideration to what sort of environment
That's
is being
right.
created.
That's right. Beautiful. All right. I'm going to go ahead and get ready for the part of the method where we start to take action or draw a conclusion. So this phase begins with confirming we're on the right track. Do you think you have a good support system? And do you have trusted friends and family members and advisors that you can use in situations like this?
Definitely. I mean, I think throughout my whole life, I've had family members with a good head on their shoulders, which has been very helpful in getting navigated in the right direction and making sure that I don't make decisions that wouldn't be in my best interest, even though, of course, kids like to do that for the fun of it anyway, and to prove it to themselves. But once you're past that state, then you really do want somebody to confirm things for you, and you realize, oh man, I can learn from somebody else's mistakes. However, it's been harder as life has gone on, because I've gotten to the point where the way I look at things, I can usually solve a problem. And if I can't solve a problem, it is tough to find the person who can. So I think right now I could use some more trusted advisors.
And you're right, because like you said, sometimes when you start having more experiences in your life, then it is likely that you can answer the questions. And if there's a difficult situation you can't figure out, it's likely that other people have difficulty with it. But that also means that if you have experienced that state, you can offer the help to the people after you who's going through the same situation. So do you currently empower those around you to find meaning and purpose in their lives or solve those difficult situations for themselves?
Yeah, I think so. If I had more than 2 minutes earlier, I would have said that people usually tell me that I see things from a different perspective. And I think that's how I can be most valuable to people when they come to me. And I do find people come to me to just see a different perspective on an issue. And I can usually help them not by solving the problem, because over time I've gotten less confident in my ability to give the right answer to every situation.
That's a wise man.
But at least I can tell them to look at the situation differently, or recognize that it's a system, or sometimes an antiquated system that hasn't been revamped in a while, that's causing them difficulty. And so they can either look at changing the system for themselves, or at least learning to work around it.
Right.
So that's usually the types of advice that I find I'm giving people.
Delightful. You're so right about that. You know, sometimes even if you can't change the system, if you can't change the situation, you can change your relationship with the situation you're in, or relationship with the system. And there have been definitely many times when we had conversations around something like this, you have changed my perspective, or at least offered, again, a different way of looking at it, which is very, very helpful. So thank you for that. And I think anybody else who has been helped by you in that nature would thank you if they had a chance.
Yeah, well, I mean, my favorite thing that happens to us is that we usually end up convincing the other one. So I'll end up with your viewpoint and you'll end up with my viewpoint. And I think that means we're pretty evenly matched wills.
That's true. Those are the rules of debate and argument. I think we both took that class very well in college. All right. So is there anything you need right now to empower your goals and achieve your greater flourishing?
I do think having some trusted advisors that have a more holistic view on life and aren't just specialized in their field, but are somebody else who's tried to explore what is the meaning of life, what is flourishing, how do we live a good life, that would be incredibly helpful. And of course, it's always helpful to be connected with people with good connections. Expanding your network, being able to make things happen through others. I always enjoy sometimes on the corporate scorecard where they give you for your leadership qualities, it will include delivering through others. And that's really interesting to think about, because that's really how you make big things happen, is inspiring others, getting along with others for a common goal. And that would be helpful for empowering my life right now, is more people to join us on our quest.
Absolutely. You're right about that too, you know, and that's kind of our vision for concept.app, our community, that we could create that culture and possess that quality that everybody who comes to our platform can do that for one another. How cool would that be, you know, if we didn't have to just work towards one goal because we work at the same place, because we're part of the same company or part of the same city or same religion, just for the sake of flourishing. I think that would be a lovely experience for everybody, and maybe hope for humanity, if I'm really honest with you.
Indeed. That would be wonderful. And I just don't know where I'd go for that right now. Even you'd think that there would be systems in place to try to find people to connect with. But unless you've got a very specific goal and you're going to have a transactional exchange, there's not really anywhere to go.
And I mean, there are some that if you belong to specific labels, and there's, again, nothing wrong with the labels, but if you're like part of a specific organization, part of a specific religious group, those are some of the things that you could probably achieve those conversations. But I fear that when you are in that state, you're pretty much working through a box that you can't necessarily relate to everyone else, and it creates more separateness for us, rather than the space of, you know, diversity in unity. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're really hoping to gain through concept. Bear with me there, we're almost done. I know how you navigate situations, how you confirm you're going down a wise path, and how you empower yourself and make it happen. But how do you maintain this state of flourishing? What does it look like when you're having the daily practice of happiness? Do you do specific things? Can you tell us like three things you do every day to maintain your state of happiness and flourishing, and maybe three things that you stay away from?
Definitely. So three things I do every day. I play with a dog that over the past year that she is, she's doing the cutest thing right now. I can't believe she knows that I'm talking about her, but it's just been a totally different perspective, because dogs are always in the present moment, and they teach you a lot about yourself by reflecting your vibes back at you. So that's one thing I do every day that's made me a lot happier lately. I move all the time. I've been called a moving creature.
You're definitely a moving creature.
I don't really do quote unquote yoga anymore, but more whatever my body wants. because I've gotten to the point that my body talks to me, and every part of my body will tell me whether it's doing what it wants or not right now, which is a blessing and a curse, of course. And I eat a vegetable, at least a vegetable.
A vegetable. What's your favorite vegetable? Don't tell me broccoli.
I was actually going to say broccoli.
I mean, but it's really high in protein. You're very good.
Well, that's why I like the broccoli. I don't actually like broccoli. My mind likes broccoli. When I see broccoli on a plate, I'm like, I've done something healthy for myself.
And so what do you stay away from?
I avoid confrontation, which I'm trying to get better at still having the challenging conversations when something needs to be done. But in general, I do everything I can to avoid uncomfortable confrontations with people. Physically, I avoid alcohol just because it's a bad drug, man. And I avoid sitting for too long. Okay. I've got ergonomic stuff everywhere. People are always making fun of me at work because my chair is different than everybody else. My keyboard's split in two parts. I've got like two different rolly ball mice. But yeah, so I'm avoiding sitting and being in one position for too long.
That sounds wonderful. That's so much fun. I have to send a picture to everybody else from your workstation at some point. That would be really fun to look at. That's something I'm going to post in Concept Community.
Hopefully people can learn from me and also get made fun of.
Absolutely. So finally, the last step to spread your flourishing by teaching. I mean, you've been already teaching us this whole time, but I really want to hear your summary. Can you teach us three simple ways how we can practice daily to become happier or achieve our state of flourishing?
Okay, three ways. I'd say focus on how the things that you're consuming make you feel. So whether that's food, obviously, or the news or conversations or music like we were talking about earlier, if you find that the thing that you're doing right now is making you feel unpleasant or not how you want to be, then don't do that thing. But you've got to be aware of it to be able to make that decision. Two, connect with your body and do what it asks of you. Ida, I think that you're better at knowing whether you want to eat something. Well, after you eat it, you're like, oh, immediately, nope, that wasn't good for my body. I'm not quite there, but definitely for my physical posture and the way that I'm doing exercises, I'm as connected as I can be and make sure that I don't hurt myself. Because it takes a long time to fix yourself.
Oh, yes, that does. If you hurt yourself.
I say with my broken toe from simply not looking where I was walking when I was standing up.
But, you know, it's so interesting, and I hope that your broken toe heals very quickly. But, you know, I'm always fascinated. I always talk to everyone about this, especially in my career, that, you know, we sometimes go out of our way to purchase the most expensive insurance for our, you know, houses and cars and things that they're not necessarily the easiest, but easy to replace at some point. But our own bodies, it's like, this is just one chance. This is one life. And yeah, maybe you can replace a knee and a shoulder and a kidney, but you can't replace the whole body. Yeah. And we don't necessarily give it as much attention and love that it deserves. So I definitely take that as, you know, paying attention more to our bodies absolutely is another key, if it's not one of the most important keys to finding happiness and flourishing.
Yeah, and you've got to learn it the hard way in many cases.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt with my knees. It was quite an experience for 6 months or so, not really being able to walk without an extreme amount of pain. And then you think like, wow, I could not walk for the rest of my life if something happens to me.
And you're an avid biker. I can only imagine how difficult that is to stop doing what you absolutely love.
Yeah, it is. That was the thing. And I didn't bike for 2 or 3 years after I had my repetitive. Well, in the beginning, yeah. But over time, I just came to the conclusion that maybe I'm not going to bike ever again. And I found other ways to take care of myself and to get that same feeling. And so now I can bike again, but it took 3 years of dedicated yoga before I could get back on a bike again. And I think almost everybody that I talk to that gets some sort of injury tries to jump back on the horse, literally or metaphorically, pretty quickly.
Wow, that's quite insightful. So what is your third?
Well, I think it's my duty to say join Concept because really, as far as we can tell, this is the only place where you can be surrounded by people who are focused on flourishing. And flourishing is not something that happens alone. And happiness isn't something that happens alone for most people. I think I have a friend who's happiest alone. But if that's not you, then I think you should come to Concept and join us and explore this with us.
Oh, I would agree with that. Thank you so much. Can you fill in the blank for me? Human flourishing equals...
Human flourishing equals whatever Ida determines by the end of this podcast. Stick around to learn more.
That means we have to find that answer. So finally, what's your motto in life?
I thought about this a lot. I thought maybe it's turtles all the way down, but that's only applicable sometimes. But I think the one that I apply most is, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And like I said, sometimes I take that to a fault, but I haven't really had it let me down yet in life. So I'd recommend it.
I would totally agree. And I think you're definitely the kind of a person who does that. Just judging by the fact that, again, for Concept Community, we've been working on a model for almost like 4 or 5 years now. And only recently, over the past few months, we felt comfortable enough to share and start expanding and opening the community to everybody so they can try it. I mean, we all know still it's going to take a lot to take it to the point where we feel happy and comfortable with it and everybody's really flourishing in it. But we are definitely doing our best to make it look and feel what it needs to be for our human flourishing community.
What it deserves. It's flourishing. It deserves to flourish.
Absolutely. And, you know, the irony is that sometimes we work with everybody else as far as our colleagues and even interns, you know, the first thing we want to make sure is that whatever task they're picking, it's something that they're happy and excited and they're flourishing through it. Because if they're not doing it, it's quite ironic. You can't work for a flourishing company and not flourish.
Exactly. Yeah. So you hear that? When we go check out our job postings, come flourish here.
Exactly. Well, all right, folks. And thank you, Benjamin, for joining us today. If you're interested in connecting with Benjamin and following Ida's quest, please do join our private community at concept.app today. And if you know someone that is absolutely flourishing, that they might possess some answer to the equation that we're looking for, please do nominate them for our next episode of Ida's Quest. Benjamin, any last words from you?
Thank you so much for always focusing on the flourishing of the world, because that's a very esoteric thing to want in life. And it takes a special kind of person to dedicate their life to that and keep going. So
can't help it.
Thanks to Ida for us all being here today.
Thank you, and have a fantastic day or night wherever you happen to be. Stay tuned and enjoy your day.
All right, folks, that's a wrap for today's show. Thank you so much for joining us. Please visit our website, concept.app, rate our show, and tell your friends and family about Ida's Quest. You guys are the best!